You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
See, I always wondered, all these butt-faced human pieces of garbage out there walking the earth, who's making them? I mean, what kind of Frankenstein monsters are out there copulating to create all these hunks of shit people in the world?
Welcome to a new episode of the Unsolicited Opinion Metal Podcast. That was God's Hate with the track Finish the Job from the self-titled album, which came out on March 12th, and it's a banger. Make sure to check it out. And now I'm glad to welcome Mike from the crossover thrash metal band Bushido Code. How are you, man?
Hey, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm excited, even though this is going to air on Friday, Thursday, it's opening day, so I'm really excited about that. Baseball.
That's awesome.
Music. So awesome, man. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation. I'm really excited for this one because the album, The Running, which we're going to be talking more about it during this chat, it's like it threw me back to my hardcore and thrash metal days. So it's really exciting to hear this kind of stuff still happening, obviously, in 2021.
Yeah, that was actually a big component to writing this record because we wanted to go back to what we loved as kids. But at the same time, we wanted to give the new generation something new to listen to. So it's a little bit old school, but it's a little bit new too. You know what I mean? We tried to balance it out really well.
And I think you did. I think you guys did. And talking about the, I would say the duality between the vocals and the rest of the music, because the vocals is like very hardcore oriented, but the music is actually like thrashy and melodic, but also, you know, you have to have those breakdown and, you know, hardcore riffs. So, and you guys actually did it in the album.
Yeah, that's it's funny because you could try to play metal all you want, but when you played hardcore for as long as we all have, that, you know, it's going to come through, you know, because we've been to so many shows, you know, those beat down parts are just some of the cool stuff that you love. But
right,
we definitely wanted to try to take a different approach to it. And vocally, you know, I started off singing like in a death metal band and singing metal, and then I ended up playing hardcore for most of my life. But, you know, I always loved vocalists like Chuck Billy from Testament and, you know, stuff like that. I think he's one of the best vocalists ever. So I took a little bit of that into it, you know what I mean? And you know, tried to do some stuff, you know, I wanted to sound, you know, as brutal as possible, but understandable. And I think that we really pulled that off in this record for sure.
For sure. For sure. Oh yes, for sure. And something that we're talking before we actually started or we hit record for the interview is that you were talking about the early day influences. So I want you to tell us about the formation of the band and what actually inspired you to go this route with the music that you guys are playing.
Well, it's kind of a funny story. Me and Derek have been, you know, me and all these guys, Derek, Kyle and Rocco and all, we've all been friends for a long time, but me and Derek have gone back particularly long in our music careers. Cause you know, he was in a band called In the Eyes Of way back in the day. And I played in bands like Inertia Flame and Choose Your Weapon and, you know, just playing hardcore and metalcore. And then he was in Fury of Five. So when he left Fury of Five and he called me up and he was like, look, man, I'm going to do this one last band. This will be the last band I ever do. And I was like, well, damn, bro, I don't even care what it is. I want to do it. You know what I mean? It's because this guy's a great guitarist and a good friend of mine. So I was like, let's do it. So he sent me the music and I was like, oh, okay. So we're going to go back to high school and do what we did in high school. Okay. So, but when we brought, you know, Rocco and Sean in, and they were in a band called Dementor at the time, or just broke, got out of a band called Dementor. And then Kyle lived near Derek. And he was an ex represent X. And so we all kind of knew each other and we got it together. And by the time we started put the tracks together, it really started kind of being where I was like, wow, this is different. This is kind of a different vibe. It's traditional, kind of thrashy, a little bit hardcore. It just kind of mixed up. So when we got done with the music, I looked at Derek and I was like, look, man, let's really have fun with this band. And the things that I loved, going back to our conversation earlier, the things I loved growing up was, you know, bands like Iron Maiden and Megadeth and these other bands had these cool stories involved with the records, especially Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden was the best at it. I mean, matter of fact, I was an Eddie fan before I was an Iron Maiden fan. You know, I just love those shirts and, you know, I love that whole story. And I was like, the Killers, what Eddie, yeah, what's Eddie gonna be doing on this shirt? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I always thought that was the coolest, but you know, I always got bummed because I didn't feel like the kids that were coming up now had those records, had those cool shirts and stuff. So I always wanted to do something like that, you know, bring that kind of imagery back and that kind of storytelling back to playing metal. And then we came up with this wild idea with the first two EPs called The Dying Virtues 1 and 2. And I was like, I'm going to write a song for every virtue of the samurai because the band was called Bushidoka. And it ended up taking me on this cool journey where I was like, you know, I can talk about real issues, but kind of do it through the eyes of this vicious samurai, Ronin, you know what I mean? Right. Guy named Daishi. Mm-hmm. And I created this whole story behind it. And then we ended up writing the Ronin, which was specific to him and specific to looking at ourselves in the mirror and wondering if you would get your head cut off, you know, by this guy who only has the code to live by. And it was a lot of fun, man. We just had, and that's what we're hearing a lot of the people that listen to the record are like, you know, it's a cool album sonically, but it's got this crazy story attached to it too. And it's really fun to go down that rabbit hole with it too. So that's what we tried to do. And I think we pulled it off.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree. I actually think that one of the things that you guys made me think while listening to Derone is that you guys portray yourselves, or at least that's the genre, subgenre you guys are in, like crossover thrash metal. And whenever we think about crossover thrash metal, we think of bands like, you know, Municipal Waste, Iron Regan, and you know, this kind of party thrash bands. But when thinking about what's the actual definition of crossover, you know, it's about crossover, like combining other or different genres, in this case, hardcore and thrash metal, which totally right. makes sense. So in my case, it was like, okay, I need to redefine or re-understand and sit down again. What is my understanding of crossover? And now I have this new perspective where now, you know, crossover can mean, it means actually mixing right. different types and genres. And I think, obviously, you guys, this is something very important. I think every time someone else gives me like a new perspective on a new subgenre, I'm like, huh, fuck, okay.
Right.
This
yeah.
makes sense. So, well, you know, yeah, you pulled it
off. It's really funny that you say that, because we were actually, me and our label, my label owner, Mario, he owns Upstate Records. We were actually talking about that today, because Derek actually thinks of this band more as a hybrid metal band. And we were talking about the difference between what we consider hybrid and crossover. And it's like kind of this like debate that we go back and forth, where it's like, you know, I would consider us more of a crossover, but I do like the idea of a hybrid metal, because that's really, I think, a little bit more accurate to describe it than a crossover. But crossover is kind of taking its place as a style. But you could argue the point that both of them are, but I see your point, because you can, you got bands like Municipal Waste, who really are just traditional thrash bands. I mean, they really are. Mm-hmm. But you got Power Trip, who's a little bit more of a crossover band, because they have hardcore elements to them. But I always go back to thinking about the original, you know, like the original four, which everybody talks about, is really should have been the original five, because it should have been Slayer, Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax, and Testament. That should have been the five.
Yeah.
But I always looked at us as like a Testament, because to me, Testament was the best of all those bands, not because they were so more records or this, that, and the other thing. They just were the better, like they had their own thing. They were a thrash band, but they were the best musicians playing thrash music at the time.
They were very diverse too.
Yeah, they're so freaking good. And all those bands were, they just, as a musician, like people talk about, you know, why do you love Tool and the Deftones? I was like, because every musician loves Tool and the Deftones. You know what I mean? They're just, because they're musically on a different level than everybody else. It's like people like Meshuggah. Oh, Meshuggah is great. But as a musician, you're like, Meshuggah is just amazing. You know what I mean?
It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, they're just on another level. As a musician, you know what it takes to get what they're doing. You know what I mean? Especially like Chino with the Deftones, man. Like people really just don't get how good that band is. You know what I mean? Like, they have a cool song. No, man, those dudes are beyond on another plane of musicianship. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's what we tried to achieve, was like, hey, you know, yeah, we're going to be clumped into this crossover category, which is good, because we're not a hardcore band. We're not. And we're way more of a metal band than we are a hardcore band. But, you know, like I talked to Sal from Sworn Enemy. I always bring this up, but like Sworn Enemy hasn't been a metal band or hasn't been a hardcore band since their second album. I mean, they're a metal band all day, every day, you know, but they're clumped into that category. Same, like I'm good friends with the guys in Earth Crisis. And I was like, you guys were never a hardcore band ever. You guys were always a metal band. I don't get it. You know what I mean? But it's just how your lyrics are perceived and how the genre has changed. Cause I mean, like, can you really sit there and say All Out War is a hardcore band? I don't think they are. You know what I mean?
I think in this case, we can argue about the actual attitude, you know, the whole community aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's the attitude, the approach to the music, the direction of the band, the undertone of the band, what the band's really about, all those things come into play. Because hardcore is more of a way of life than it is more of a musical journey, you know? But so, you know, that although that being said, we were like, you know, we wanted to put this out, but we wanted to be a little testimony about it, not be what everybody else is, be something a little bit different. And that was the goal going into it. And I think that without even really trying, we kind of made it happen. You know what I mean? Cause you look at us and we look like five hardcore dudes. You know what I mean? Cause you know, you can't get rid of the years of tattooing and, you know, all this other stuff, you know, but when you listen to the music, you're like, yeah, these guys are a little bit deeper than that. And that's what we wanted. We wanted to be looked at as a band that you could dig into, you know?
Right. And talking about this, how is your approach whenever you sit down in a room to actually, you know, start composing this kind of songs? Do you discuss about it? Do you have like someone that comes up with basically the main idea and then just go from there? How does it work with you guys?
Well, what's challenging in Bushido is that we all live in very far apart from each other. I know you guys are in Puerto Rico, but I live in North Carolina and the rest of the guys live in Pennsylvania. But they live like 4 hours or 2.5 hours from each other, 3 hours from each other. So we do a lot of writing online. So what we figured out worked, and this band, it just works really well, is that instead of everybody trying to force the songs from happening, like Derek will write the bulk load of the actual music. But instead of everybody trying to rewrites and this, that, and the other thing, we all focus on just our job. Like my job is to write lyrics and come up with the direction of the story. You know, Derek might give me an idea or Kyle or Rocco might give me an idea, but it's my responsibility to create the story. And, you know, Rocco's like, I gotta write my drum parts and do my feels. So instead of focusing on trying to reconstruct the songs, we focus more on each other's individual job. And it just seems to work out really well. It just seems effortless when we do it like that. So we'll get the basic song done. I'll write the lyrics and then we'll get into a room, finalize it. And then, or we'll do it via internet. And then that's pretty much how it works. But when we were writing the Ronin, when we were finishing the Dying Virtues, I already had the idea for the Ronin. And then I'll hit, you know, me and Derek communicate back and forth, or me and, you know, Sean will talk or something. And we'll just start putting ideas together about, you know, I'll start telling these crazy ideas I have for the story. And they're like, oh, that's cool. Or that's so stupid. Why would you do that? You know? So, right. And then, you know, then like Derek will even write some lyrics sometimes and we'll collaborate, you know? So it's just like a group effort. It feels like everybody pushes in the same direction. It's not like any other band I've been in, and I've been in a lot of bands, but sometimes it feels like you got two guys maybe pushing the right direction and the other guys, you're kind of dragging them. It's not like that in this. When we're all pushing in the same direction, it's like effort. It's really effortlessly. Like when we were recording the Ronin, we're in the studio and the album's getting done. You kind of had that feeling like, okay, we really got something here. But it was like you start thinking, it's like, God, this is so easy. Like, is this how it's supposed to be?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, it seems like we should have tried harder. You know what I mean? Like,
right? Yeah. I get it. I totally get it. No, and it feels awesome whenever you actually find like the correct and the right people, and like everything, all the ideas flow flawlessly, and you know, you don't really have to argue to, you know, accommodate anything or any opinion or anything that you want to drive the band towards, right? And that's right. Probably one of the best feelings. If you're in a band, whenever you get to find the 3, 4, 5 other guys that are actually in the same page as you are, that's usually when the magic happens, actually. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. I was watching some like documentary on that band Boston not too long ago. And I know it's a random band, but that's how that guy did it. He was like, you know, he wrote everything and then he found the right guys to get his thing out. And it wasn't about who wrote the songs, you know, it was about,
right,
you know, it's about like, okay, I have the best drummer, I have the right singer, I have the right bass player, you know what I mean? So when people ask who writes the songs, we all do, you know what I mean? Because we wouldn't have the songs we did if it wasn't for each individual member of this band, no matter who wrote the bulk of the music or not. And Derek would say the same thing, you know what I mean? So that's what's cool about this band. It just seems like everybody pushes in the same direction. And if you've ever been in a band, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I've had, like, right now in the band, and Moths, and actually Calamity, which is my other band. I just joined on that band, but like the way that we're working ourselves and the way the ideas are flowing are like that, are like pretty much effortless, where we're kind of connected in that sense versus other bands that I've been before, where, you know, I have to push things a little bit and someone else has to push or just present me things in order for me to understand a little bit, you know, right. You have to explain to me what's the purpose and I get it. So the fact that you're there, it's pretty awesome. And the fact also that how technology has made everything, like the writing process, kind of simpler in a sense. And
oh yeah,
particularly after 2020, what happened in 2020, being able to stay productive, that's something very interesting. And I love to ask these questions to every band that I interview, because it gives me a different perspective on how everyone works. And it's mm-hmm. what's even more awesome. It's not like not everyone works the same way. And some things yeah. work for some bands, and for some bands, those, like, for example, for my band, it wouldn't work to be composing from afar. We right. have to like get together in a room. So it's very interesting to know that.
Yeah. I mean, my other band's the same way. Like, I can't do that with my other band. I'm in a band called Paid in Full too. And that band is like, you got to get in the practice room and jam with these guys. Like, that's just the only yeah. way to do it. But it's like, you know, in this band, it's just that chemistry is there. And every band you have to treat differently. But I love that you asked that question, because, you know, you got to try different things. You're only going to get it as bad as you want it. You know what I mean? And if you got five guys who really want it, you can make anything happen. You know what I mean? Especially with this pandemic. Like people like, you know, oh, this pandemic must have ruined you. It sucks. I mean, and the world's upside down. But for this record, it actually helped a little bit. It slowed us down. It forced us to spend more time writing and forced us to have a little bit more extra time composing songs the way we wanted them. You know what I mean? So for that, you know, for that aspect, I like that it made us pump the brakes a little bit, because you know how it goes. You start getting on a roll and man, next thing you know, you're tumbling downhill, you know? So yep. yeah, it was for that matter, it was good, but for everything else, it sucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was a matter also of, you know, how were, as an individual, how are you going to take it? Were you going to just fall back and wait till the world goes quote unquote back to normal? Or were you going to be someone productive in this forced break that everyone had to take about from life in general, in a sense, right?
Yeah, so, I think that doesn't only apply to music. That applies in everything in life, you know?
Correct.
I have a 12-year-old daughter, and it's a constant, like, hey, I know things aren't like they used to be, but you got to get up. You got to get out there. You got to get moving. You got to, you know, call your friends. You got to get out and get in the sun, you know what I mean? Like, you got to, you know, you can't be scared of the world. You know, it's a scary time, and you got to protect yourself and you know, this, all this stuff. But especially in America, it's been, you know, a whirlwind with political issues and all the craziness we've been dealing with here. But at the same time, you know, we're at a point now where it's like, you know, you got to be held accountable for what you do and how you approach this life. You know what I mean? Because you're the only one that really matters in this life. You know what I mean? So you got to, I mean, that's kind of what the record's about too, to be honest with you. Yeah, it's got this crazy story, but the undertone is looking yourself in the mirror and asking yourself the hard questions. You know, do I have integrity? Do I believe in what I say? Am I taking care of the planet? Am I taking care of myself? You know what I mean? Do I see the rats for the rats that they are, or do I see them as kings? You know what I mean? So you're asking yourself the really hard questions, and the answers to those questions, if you were honest with yourself, could lead you to losing your head. You know what I mean? Figuratively speaking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, so it's like, it's asking those hard questions in life sometimes will help you achieve a good life. You know what I mean? Because you're not scared to ask and answer the hard questions. You know what I mean? So, I mean.
Yeah, I think these are very necessary questions for example, in my case, I had to really, like, I had to go through this process. I'm pretty sure everyone did, where it was a point where I literally, like, paused and said, what am I doing, particularly with my artistic life? Do I have a clear purpose of what I want to do with my art, with my music? And then after, like, you know, going through some specific experiences last year,
I was able to answer these questions and I was able to move forward and like actually be productive about it. And I think, again, it's a matter of like sitting down and really thinking about how we were going to be productive, and particularly bands.
Right. You got to make a decision. And mm-hmm. I always tell people, I think the way I think sometimes is like kind of a dying view, I guess, because I believe like you got to have integrity. Like if you say something, you got to be it. And saying something and being something sometimes isn't easy. A lot of the times it's not easy. Sometimes it takes sacrifice and dedication and uncomfortableness and all these things and especially playing music as long as I have, I mean, 20 plus years of, you know, playing music and being disappointed and working super hard to lose it all. But I still stay diligent because I'm still that little kid that listened to a Suicidal Tendencies tape when I had no place to live. And I was, you know, 12 years old, I think. And, you know, sleeping on this bridge, homeless. And I listened to Mike Merck tell me that I wasn't the only kid that thought the way I did. And then I didn't mm-hmm. feel alone anymore. And I had to give that back to people. I had to spend the whole rest of my life trying to give that back to people because that saved my life. You know what I mean? As a young, impressionable kid, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I love that you think that you took the time to realize that, you know, my art is important and I got to do it. Even if it's not easy, you know what I'm saying? And look where it got you, you know, you got to open for one of the biggest bands in the world. That's pretty cool, man.
Thanks. Pretty cool. Thank you. Yeah. No, it's the power of music, right? And the fact that we also like be able to be the same tool that used, like you said in your story, like if Suicidal Tendencies was that band, what really stops you from inspiring other kids that may be in the same situation as you were, right? And just tell them, hey, I went through that. You're not alone, and you can, and you will get out of it, right? So, yeah. I think as an artist and as musicians, we have that responsibility. It's a matter of you accepting it, embracing it. If you want to go and move forward with it, just do it, right? Because I think it's very powerful, and we can see in popular music everything that's happening, particularly in these days, and how social media quickly affects and impacts everything. So, you know, if we want to like make something out of the quote unquote standard agenda, what's happening in the popular music business, and we just actually have a deep, meaningful meaning in our music and hopefully inspire other people as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, that's what I fell head over heels in love with hardcore about, because it was like, you know, you listen to the Bad Brains and the Cro-Mags and the Gnostic Front. I mean, they had something to say. Like, it wasn't like, you know, I came from a metal background listening to bands like, you know, I was really into death metal. And Napalm Death was an Obituary, and all these bands were very political, but, you know, and had this things to say. But when I heard, you know, bands like Gnostic Front and Bad Brains, and I was like, these guys are changing the world in the way that they, at least my world, in the way that they looked at things. So, you know, all the years that I spent, you know, admiring, and then not only that, meeting these guys, being able to play with, you know, meeting Roger 100 times and playing shows with them from a Gnostic Front. And these guys were like the coolest, just most laid back, funniest guys. Like if you ever hung out with Stigma, you know what I'm talking about. The guy.
Oh yeah. Hilarious. I was able to share the stage with actually both Napalm Death and Gnostic Front over here in Puerto Rico. And I remember Stigma was like hilarious.
He's one of the funniest human beings I've ever been around. And Roger to me is the most intimidating man, but the coolest. You ever just meet somebody, you're like, that is the coolest guy I know. You know what I mean?
I've ever met.
And that guy is definitely one of the cool. He's just cool, man. Like everything he does, just you're like, the guy's 53 years old, looks younger than all of us. You know, he's just a cool dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you know, I've had the great honor of sharing the stage with a lot of the bands I grew up with, and they ended up being the greatest people that I've ever met in my life. John Joseph, Mackie from the Cro-Mags. I mean, Freddie, you know, Madball, Scott, you know, from Terrors. Mm-hmm. these are all bands I loved, and they're just the greatest guys too on top of it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
you know,
that's the best feeling whenever you meet your heroes and they're cool people.
Definitely, dude. Definitely. If I, that's what I've always like. I've never met Roger. Never met Mike Murr, and that guy had such an impact on my life. And I'm scared, like, if I ever meet him, he's just gonna be like, because I've heard kind of stories of him being funny with people, and I'm just like, oh my god, that would break my heart, you know. But
I actually met Mike, and he was super cool. It was like literally at the end of the meet and greets, like. I think we just arrived to the venue and that was happening. I was like, of course I want to meet Suicidal Tendencies. I think, you know, it really depends. You know, it's like everyone, they're human beings. And if they're
having a bad day,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's all about that. So for sure. That's awesome, man. It's really cool to hear that perspective from someone that really admires, you know, and applies what you learn from the people that you admired into your music and being able to make a message out of it. And particularly, like, again, we're talking about an album that, even though it's a story, it has a lot of meaning behind it. So it's a matter of sitting down and actually, you know, reading the lyrics and thinking about what you're portraying in that message. Now, you will be releasing The Ronin on April 16th via Upset Record. And you actually had, today it's Wednesday, and you had today the single Aftermath.
Our video premiere for Aftermath. We shot that video in northern PA in the freezing cold. Shot nine hours of footage for a three and a half minute video. So, it came out super good. And Metal Injection premiered it today, and we're really excited about that. That was a big deal for us. So, that came out today, and the single will drop on Friday.
Today. Okay, so if you're listening to this episode and you are a little bit confused with the dates, listen to the song. It's going to be everywhere. Everybody. It's on my hand too. I want you to tell us a little bit more about the recording process of The Ronin, and for the people that haven't heard the album yet, what can they expect from this album?
I think sonically it's the best thing I've ever done. We went to Cerebral Studios in Pittsburgh and recorded this record, and it blew me away when we heard the mixes on it. If you're listening for a record that's going to sound muddy and that sound, which is very, very popular and very cool, that's not this record. This record's very crisp and clean sounding. The production on it is, in my opinion, stellar. It's just over the top. We wanted to write an album that, you know, it was brutal and heavy, but you could hear the guitars, you could hear the drums, you could hear the bass, you could hear the vocals. You know what I mean? We don't want it to be a wall of noise attacking you. We want it to be a wall of noise, but with clarity, you know what I mean? And I think we achieved that. You know, the recording process for this record was a lot of fun. We got a little bit experimental. I worked, I actually do some singing on it with my friend Kyle from the band Lifeless. Carry My Six is his new band, but we did that with him, and trying to be a little bit more dynamic in the writing process. So, you know, we just really went all out on it. I mean, that's all I can, you know, the best way I can describe it is that we definitely put everything we had into it, and we love the product, how it came out.
Yeah, it's a great sounding album, and I think it's very melodic. Which is, you know, again, that's what I think it surprised me the most when I saw the press release and it says thrash, crossover thrash metal. I'm like, okay, I have an idea of what to expect. And then the melodic aspect of it, and at the same time having those really harsh but very clean vocals. And when I mean clean, it's like you can actually understand every word you're saying. It's really awesome and refreshing, particularly in a genre where, you know, sometimes the crispier and the like, exactly that wall of noise is like the, for some reason, is what everyone wants to do now. But I'm more of a fan of like clean, heavy, but at the same time, you know, crisp, crunchy guitar riffs that are really on your face, but you can actually understand, you know, like you can sit down with your guitar and not really have a lot of effort just to know which notes are playing. So I think you guys nailed it in that sense as well.
Well, that was a conscious effort to make that happen, because we were like, you know, there's so many great albums that have that really heavy, you know, like we talk about the Nails record, you know, that Nails record, it's super good.
Yeah.
But I just personally love that record, but I'm not in love with the production of that record. But that's very popular production that's going on now. It's very black metal-ish, if you will. Like, you know, black metal bands were very, very keen on having this really kind of raw punk rock style recording playing death metal, you know? And I've always appreciated that, but it's just not my favorite. I'm, like I said, I'm still an older guy, and I always loved those, even the early Hatebreed records, you know, like Perseverance to me was such a great production record. Like, oh my God, the production on that record was so good. And I was like, you know, I want to do something like that where, you know, everybody's doing this. Let's go back to doing this. Like, let's try to do something a little bit different, so it sounds different when you listen to it. And that was the idea behind it. And I'm glad that you pointed out, because, and I'm glad it stuck out, because, you know, it's cool when you try something and it catches you, like, oh, thank God that worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, well, that was a waste of time. That didn't do anything.
No, for sure. For sure. It's a great sounding album. And I was really impressed, because I have this perspective about the specific genre you guys came in and presented yourselves. And then, boom, something else, which still falls under the category. And again, it made me think and redefine what actually I thought it was, a crossover thrash metal band. So I think it really works. And you know, again, listening to a genre that I'm not really listening anymore, I'm listening to a lot of like doom and stoner and progressive. That's pretty much what I'm listening to nowadays.
Right.
But like, it brought me back to those days where I was like, you know, doing the circle pits and waiting for to get
right
and stuff like that.
So, right.
It's awesome.
Well, you know,
it's awesome.
What's cool about the record, like you said, you know, listen to a lot of doom and progressive stuff. We definitely have like Prelude to War, which is an instrumental in it. And
that was beautiful.
Very dark and, you know, almost, you know, Pink Floyd-y. I feel like this sounds like Pink Floyd. I don't know why. But but we tried to make the album, you know, fun for anybody that was listening to it. Like, even if, like you said, even if you're not necessarily listening to that genre of music, you would walk by the album and go, wow, this does sound killer. You know, I'm not particularly into the, it's not particularly my thing, but I can't deny that this is a good album. You know what I mean? And that's what was the idea. Is like, you, I don't want a person to walk by and suddenly go, oh, this is horrible. Like, you know, I didn't even give it a chance because it just sounds like crap. You know what I mean? That's what we didn't want. And that was our main goal going to the studio. It was like, we're going to write these songs. We're going to record these songs because we like them, but we think that people will like them if they just give them a chance. So we got to give them something that sounds good enough to give them a chance. You know what I mean? And that's what we, you know, that was the idea behind that recording. You know what I mean?
For sure. And I think I think you guys nailed it. And everyone that's listened to this episode, you should definitely look for Droning, which is going to be available next Friday, April the 16th via Upstate Record. Now, Mike, I want to ask you, we're almost reaching the end here, but I want to ask you, what's coming next after Droning? It's out. What's coming next? Obviously, we're still kind of in the whole COVID situation, but are we going to see any live stream, any live shows coming up? What's going to be next for Bushido Code?
Yeah, we're definitely talking about doing a live stream here actually pretty soon. Like I said, I live states away from the guys. So when we get together, we try to like utilize the time. We're going to be getting together here in the next couple of weeks. So we'll probably definitely do some live streaming on that. We're talking about possibly doing an old cover, like an old thrash cover, and maybe doing a quarantine video, one of those quarantine videos. We did sign, we did take on a contract with Stronger Booking. So looks like we'll be going to Europe after the pandemic kind of dies down.
That's awesome.
We're trying to get over there with like a premier metal act. We'd like to try to, you know, I was joking around with some guys the other day. It's like, let at the gates and the haunted know we're ready to go whenever they're ready to go. So, you know, So we'd love to get out there and play, and we're going to get out and play out here as much as we can. We understand that things are limited, but our goal is to utilize the tools that we have. You know, you have the internet, you have YouTube, you have these things. So, you know, we try to make it fun on our, if you follow us on our Instagram, on our Facebook, we're always posting like little tidbit videos, or we got a cool lyric videos coming out for the next single after Aftermath, which is the Ronin, the title track of the record. And we're just kind of trying to do different, do as much as we possibly can with the assets that we have. So, yeah, there's going to be some things coming out, and I, you know, we're going to hopefully the people and listen to the podcast and people around around the world will dig into it, man. Give us a like and a follow, and we, hopefully we can keep them impressed, keep their attention.
For sure. I'm pretty sure you guys will. Now, you did mention a couple of platforms, but can you summarize and say, repeat which platforms, social media platforms are you on, so okay, people can actually follow for you?
Yeah, yeah, we're you can find us on Instagram, Bushido Code Metal. You can find us on Facebook, Bushido Code. You can find us on Twitter. We don't, like, we got to get better on the Twitter thing. We're kind of behind on the Twitter thing. Everybody in my band's like older, right? So we don't really do the Twitter thing, but we're supposed to, and our label is constantly on us. But we're also, you know, we're affiliated with Upstate Records, so check Upstate Records out. Upstate Records Europe, and we have merch packages on Cold Cuts merch right now, where you get the new long sleeve t-shirts, which we're really excited about those. They look really cool. And you can also find us on Blood Blast Distribution, because they'll be distributing the record. So, you know, that's and you know, these days a band's only successful as their social media. So if you guys could give us a follow or a like, it would mean the world to us. You know, any band that you like, you should give them a follow and a like, because they really need that. That's the way things go now. You know what I mean? So indeed. You know, I think a lot of people take that for granted. They don't realize that, you know, if I give this band a like and a follow, you know, it means the world to the band, and shows that people are interested in that band. So a lot of really good bands out there don't get looked at by bigger labels because they just don't have the followers, but they're amazing bands. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's like, you know, you got to give them the follows. You got to support bands, and it's easy as a click. You know what I mean? So
correct. So if you really dig in to Bushido Code, just make sure that you follow all of their platforms. I'm going to be leaving all the links directly on the episode's notes. So make sure you visit there and you'll see Bushido Code and all the bands that you're going to listen in this episode. Links are going to be listed there. So Mike, thank you so much for being here. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I mean, I already heard the album, but I'm really looking forward for the release date and obviously seeing how everyone will respond to it. I'm pretty sure everyone will respond positively. You guys have made a great job with this album. So
yeah, man. Thank
congrats
you so
to
much
you,
for having
to you guys. Of course. And
yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, I hope to come to Puerto Rico and see you one day. That would be amazing. You know what I mean? Go down there and play. Yeah. You know?
As soon as this thing is over, we'll make it happen.
All right, man. Thank you so much for having us. And you guys have a good night, man. Keep metal alive.
Fuck yeah. Well, this is Bushido Code and track Aftermath.
Man can run out of things to live for. Lose his purpose. Become a ronin. A samurai without a master. I can end the eternity. Make you mortal.
There's a sickness that freezes the heart. Destroying the world we're dwelling in.
That was Bushido Code with the track Aftermath. Make sure to check the Ronin out on April 16th via Upstate Records. Now we move all the way to Denmark to one of the best death metal bands out there. This is Biased with the track Genesis. We'll be right back. That was Biased with the track Genesis from the album Necrosapiens, which came out on March 5th. This band reminds me of Bloodbath in Michael Ackerfeld's era. This album is great and you should check it out if you enjoyed this track. Now we go back to the US with Enforced and the track Beneath Me. That was Enforced with the track Beneath Me from the album Kill Grid, which came out on March 12th. Heavy, fast album. Check it out. We're reaching the end of the episode, but make sure to follow Unsolicited Opinion Metal Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Let's extend the conversation. Let us know what you thought of this episode and the bands that we played in this episode, and feel free to suggest us more music to listen to. Now, to end the episode, this is Andre from the UK with the track Cursed Existence from the EP Darkest Spectrum. Thank you for listening. Have a good one. Yeah.
It is now 2024, and the choice is up to you. Do you listen to good podcasts, or do you listen to bad ones? Well, we've got a suggestion for you. How about you listen to a good podcast for the first time in your miserable life? I can think of one. Overnight Drive. Going strong. 11 years now. The podcast about nothing. Your favorite podcast's favorite podcast. Do you enjoy nothing? So do we. Why don't you come over and check it out? And stop listening to other podcasts.